us with Gordon Chang. We're heading into low Earth orbit and beyond, the moon bases. Rick Fisher of the International Assessment and Strategy Center joins us to explain the new moon race. This is the moon race of Eurasia. The world island is racing to the moon. Recently, the Indian space program successfully landed on the southern part of the moon, very high latitudes towards the South Pole. The Chinese have successfully landed a lander, a mover, something that moves on the opposite side of the moon. The Russians themselves are long established as a successful manned space program, troubled with their robotic space program, a crash on the moon. And nevertheless, there's a moon race underway, and Rick's here to help us how to assess the India entry into this, quite opposite from the China entry into this. Rick is at the International Assessment and Strategy Center. Rick, the Chinese, they've been successful. They're on a roll. What is the Gaganyaan?
Thank you, John. Gaganyaan is India's initial manned spacecraft program. Late last week, a small version was tested to validate the emergency escape technology system, a booster and a shroud at the top of the rocket that is similar to that used by the United States, Russia, and indeed China. India, on October 16, announced that Prime Minister Modi himself announced that India wants to put its people on the moon by 2040. This race is now defined by the American Artemis program, which seeks to put people back on the moon, Americans, by the end of 2025. The Chinese lunar program, which intends to put Chinese on the moon by 2029, to be followed by barely a decade later by India. China, as you mentioned, is building its own Artemis coalition. It's different from the American-led coalition in that the American coalition is built around a document, an agreement on how to behave on the moon. China's coalition is a command organization. China funds it. China is going to be providing most of the transport to the moon. It's going to be a Chinese program with other actors that play their assigned little roles. They're not going to have dominant roles. India, joining the moon race, having also joined the Artemis Accords this past June, is a great plus for the side of the democracies. India's space program is small, efficient. India is going to put a small space station in orbit as it builds its indigenous capabilities to put people in space in low Earth orbit, and then it's going to put people on the moon. It is also signed up to put one or more astronauts on the International Space Station, starting perhaps as early as next year. And as the Artemis missions to the moon accumulate, it stands to reason that it would be very much to the advantage of the Artemis partners to include India and give India initial experience in getting to and living and operating on the moon to help bolster its own program. The more democracies that are working on the moon, the better the chance that the democracies can create norms of behavior that China would find difficult to attack or destroy, or really introduce the military features on the moon that would be very consistent with China's entire dual-use space program. The Artemis partners want to head this off. India's joining the moon race helps that goal, helps to achieve that goal. But again, we're up against China. China, which wants to control the Earth-Moon system as part of its ambition to impose hegemony on the Earth, hegemony by the Chinese Communist Party.
Gordon, you have a question for Rick.
Rick, you mentioned that the Artemis goal is to put somebody on the moon by 2025. How are we doing?
It's going to be a close-run thing, Gordon. Key programs are running a bit late. The hope that Elon Musk's Starship will pan out in time is a hope. He may not be able to produce in time. We don't know. But the other variable that the United States and the Artemis partners cannot control is China's propensity to create wars on Earth that force a diversion of funding away from Western space and moon programs. The Chinese are fully behind Iran's starting of fires in the Middle East. China is fully behind North Korea's and Pakistan's nuclear missile capabilities. China can start multiple fires all around the globe that the United States would be forced to try to put out expensively in terms of treasure and even lives. And diverting that treasure will start with our space programs, I fear.
They need the lift, Rick. Let's do detail here. Long March 5 they've got, although they drop it on the Earth and can't control its reentry. Long March 9, as I recall from your teaching, is the big booster. What's the status?
John, it's due to start testing in 2025 or 2026. It will likely be ready for a 2029 moon mission. And will soon be produced in versions that are reusable, kind of like Falcon Heavy.
So we're looking at the Chinese ambition to produce the Long March 9 before they can produce the moon base. Those two things are as tied together as the SLS and Artemis, correct?
Well, I'm sorry, John. I need to correct myself. The first booster to come out will be the Long March 10. That they will use two of those to get to the moon, and those will eventually be reusable. But Long March 9, the heavy launcher, may not appear until 2035.
Okay.
But it will look almost like Starship.
Gordon, we have a quick question, Tom. Go ahead.
Rick, you mentioned India joining the International Space Station. How much longer will that station be up in orbit?
It may be up there until 2028. I think that's how far the funding goes out. And then the United States hopes to transition to private sector space stations to perform functions we need in low Earth orbit like that.
Rick Fisher, the International Assessment and Strategy Center. The big picture, there's a moon race. The bigger picture is that it's all in Eurasia right now. The contestants are adversaries. This is CBS Eye on the World. Gordon Chang, I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.